if you are need to get health information or treatment, you start with the correct procedure. The first thing is to go to a health facility and get checked. You look for a doctor or a clinic or a health facility to get checked. That's where you, if you're unwell, that's the first stop of entry. But of course, online, there are very many sources of information. We can, for instance, use TV medical drama programs. Because the guy has a laptop and a lab coat and a stethoscope, does that mean that information is correct? You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it should actually be treated as such. So your search for a qualified health professional starts with what are the regulations. And for Kenya, for instance, it's very simple. The list of doctors, for instance, would be who are eligible to practice, let's say, would be gotten from the regulator's website, which is Kenya Medical Practitioners and Dentist Council. If you needed to know if someone, for instance, is a clinical officer, you have the Clinical Officers Council. They have a list for the same. If you need to know a nurse, then you have Nursing Council of Kenya. So there are various levels of and any other practitioners that you may need to confirm their identity, because there is a legal licensing process for doing the same.
Hi, welcome to the One Health Lens podcast. My name is Helen Shikanda. I'll be the host for today's episode. I am a health and science journalist from the Nation Media Group, and I'm here with my guest, Dr. Simon Kingondu, and he will introduce himself.
Thank you, Helen. My name is Dr. Simon Moshara Kigondu. I am a consultant gynecologist, and on TikTok, I am the dancing doctor. I think the topic today involves both health and TikTok.
Yeah, the topic today actually involves what he does or the platform where he is at, TikTok, the digital space. And since we are already in part of the fourth industrial revolution where everyone is online, everyone is on social media, we want to discuss the implications of health on TikTok. So there's a story that I recently did which analyzed quack doctors. I was told there are no fake doctors. It's either you're a real doctor or you're a quack doctor. So there are some quack doctors who label themselves as medical influencers who are on TikTok. And they have lots of health information which could not be true. So we are here just to discuss the implications this has on our healthcare system, on our health, on your health. So when you get information online, what are you supposed to do? So Dr. Kingondu, how can people tell that this person sharing health information online is a quack?
Thank you very much, Helen. And some of us who aged, so to speak, did Shakespeare. Did you do Shakespeare?
No.
I doubt, didn't. And one of the quotes of Shakespeare was, what's in a name? So what's in a name? A name is a very important aspect to identity. And therefore, when you describe health personnel, then it is important to start with the description of the name. So a doctor has very specific qualifications, and part of it comes from, okay, went medical school and did this curriculum, this amount of knowledge was taught, and they qualified from the medical school, did maybe internship, so to speak. And then you're given the title doctor and you are licensed to do doctoring or medicine. There are others, people in health who have specific roles. For instance, nurses, they may have training in a specific field, nursing, and you may have clinical officers, and they are clinical officers in the field. But then you also have other people who practice, so to speak, health, like witch doctors. So a title of a witch doctor would actually point to what your profession is.
Yeah.
And then Finally, we have pretenders. So there are people who pretend to know medicine, yet they don't know. They pretend to practice what their scope of practice or they are not trained to do. For various reasons, for money, for because of they've seen it. For instance, if you have a person who has been working in a hospital for long and he has been a sweeper, let's say. But because he has been seeing people injecting, then he says he also knows how to inject and goes out to his village, opens a hospital, and people know he's been working in the hospital. And then he starts injecting people. Then that's a quack. A quack, because he's purporting to do what he's not trained for. So it's very important to get the name right.
So you said it's important to get the name right. So when I'm on TikTok, I just go there to consume information. And let's say I have a problem, a health problem, and I'm desperate looking for an answer.
Yeah.
I don't have money to go to a hospital. And then I see this medical influencer online. They have a lab coat, they have a stethoscope, and they are sharing health information. Should I take this information as it is, or what should I do as a person?
So, first, if you need to get health information or treatment, you start with the correct procedure. The first thing is to go to a health facility and get checked. You look for a doctor or a clinic or a health facility to get checked. That's where if you're unwell, that's the first stop of entry. But, of course, online, there are very many sources of information. We can, for instance, use TV medical drama programs. Because the guy has a laptop and a lab coat and a stethoscope, does that mean that information is correct? You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it should actually be treated as such. So your search for a qualified health professional starts with what are the regulations. And for Kenya, for instance, it's very simple. The list of doctors, for instance, would be who are eligible to practice, let's say, would be gotten from the regulator's website, which is Kenya Medical Practitioners and Dentist Council. If you needed to know if someone, for instance, is a clinical officer, you have the Clinical Officers Council. They have a list for the same. If you need to know a nurse, then you have Nursing Council of Kenya. So there are various levels of and any other practitioners that you may need to confirm their identity, because there's a legal licensing process for doing the same. So on TikTok, for instance, and other social media pages, then you take the information with a pinch of salt. But if should you want to get to know whether that person is qualified or not, then you need to look at the relevant regulatory places for you if you want to relate with that content at a professional level.
You mentioned that you are a gynecologist, and based on the analysis that we did, we found out that most of these medical influencers target women issues, mostly gynecological issues. So women go desperately, maybe they want to get pregnant, and someone is selling something, maybe at a herbal sort of medicine, or they're just saying something that they perceive to help women, but these are people who are not actually gynecologists. And to make matters worse is that these people charge consultation fee, which ideally a doctor should do. So what are the regulations in Kenya to curb such things?
Yeah, so women problems are actually the most probably you'd see on social media. Why? Because women generally tend to seek help. And women also generally have issues that a lot of times would need health advice. Starting from very young, then you'd have issues of menstruation, period pains, and all. After that, you would probably be wanting to conceive, have a baby. Maybe some people may not be able to, and therefore those issues are need medical help. Is menopause. There are all sorts of issues that come with that and that would need help. Women are also more expressive. Therefore, they would go out there to seek this advice. And therefore, and also, of course, the sexual activity is fantasized and all, and there are all sorts of advice on the same. And of course, human beings being social beings pursue such things. So, and therefore it is no surprise that you, a lot of things that are imitated or people who claim they can treat things are for women.
Mm-hmm.
For men also would be more towards sex drive, mm-hmm. you know? They yeah. they sell more for obvious purposes. There mm-hmm. are social pressures mm-hmm. on such issues. And therefore, it is important that the people you seek help from, as we have said earlier, are qualified.
Yeah.
They have gone to school to learn the anatomy, physiology, biochemistry of the body, and are able to direct diagnosis and treatment towards the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, because a lot of the women problems, so to speak, people are desperate and they would give anything
mm-hmm.
to get help from it, then if people are frustrated by a lack of outcome from their treatment, then there are these people out there promising heaven and earth,
mm-hmm.
then they are more likely to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, we as gynecologists at the tail end of the treatment
mm-hmm.
usually end up getting the woman, for instance, who has spent all her money and finally nothing has happened, and then they come to us when a lot of, actually almost all their money has mm-hmm. been sent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start from scratch, and when you need to send people for investigations, their money has been spent on things that may not have given them a good outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot stop human beings from going to do what they want to do. But it is important for the health professionals to actually come out there. And
mm-hmm.
it's almost like you're competing. Mm-hmm. Give the correct the information.
Correct information, yeah.
Because when you're asking this woman, for instance, where she got her information, it was on TikTok. So we'll ask the health providers, are you on TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
Are you an alternative to that woman, so that when she says, oh, there is the dancing doctor here, maybe he can help.
Mm-hmm.
And being on TikTok, I'm on mm-hmm. TikTok as the dancing doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually received a lot
mm-hmm.
of health questions on TikTok and answered them.
Oh, okay.
And actually answered them mm-hmm. on the same. So even as they are pursuing these other persons,
mm-hmm.
we are also as those few, because generally doctors tend to be very shy, social media is shy,
mm-hmm.
because health information tends to be mainly private. You know, we generally don't share your information
mm-hmm.
if you've seen. So even the training itself tends to make you very reserved. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but that doesn't mean that you should not go out there and give the information, because there are alternatives
mm-hmm.
which are wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever had a patient come to your clinic, for instance, and they've had so many information they've gotten from TikTok, but now it hasn't helped, so the last resort is coming to you now as a real doctor?
Yeah, very many. And maybe we can start with, there are mitishambas, sort of. There are people who sell some very
herbal,
expensive,
yeah.
not necessarily herbal, some mm-hmm. things, you know.
Uh-huh.
They say they claim that this can treat this, a lot of them, and they spend a lot of money. Then by the time their money is finished, then now they come for professional help. You say, okay, that
like
did not
conditions?
Help. No, all sorts of conditions.
Sorts, okay.
You know, anyone with a condition, desperate condition, infertility,
mm-hmm.
They are looking for a baby and they haven't, or they have menopausal symptoms, or they have dysmenorrhea, whatever. People actually go for anything, depending, I think, on your entry point.
Mm-hmm.
So people do come. Their money is quite well spent, but now they come to the real help. So we get a lot of that. Now, two issues, maybe just to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
The herbalists, for instance, are not under the medical practitioners and dentist council, or the Ministry of Health, so to speak. They're under Ministry of Culture and Social Services. Mm-hmm. So we are sort of having two parallel standards.
Mm-hmm.
The people under the Ministry of Health and the Kenya Medical Practitioner and Dentist Council are put under very strict guidelines control, you know. They are protecting the public.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the people who are doing the other herbal business and all under the Ministry of Culture have no regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, sometimes part of the reason you see why they are able to have penetration is that, for instance, not allowed to obviously advertise. I can't advertise and say I'm the best gynecologist and therefore come. But the people of herbal, you'll see all photos on trees in the media.
Yeah.
See, so there is sort of some double standards on that. And therefore, I would say that they have an edge over us in terms of their visibility because of the different ministries under which they are regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of them having an edge and you guys being part of the Kenya Medical Practitioners and Dentists Council, we have the Digital Health Act of 2023 that was enacted by the president. Do you think some of those regulations, when they are implemented, can help in curbing such sharing of such information?
So the Digital Health Act was meant to... how do you put it, like consolidate health information.
Okay.
You as a client, for instance, if you are treated in Kisumu, then 1 week later you are being treated in Nairobi, your information is not in one place.
Mm-hmm.
But the Digital Health Act was created so as to enhance that visibility so that the information of the facility in Kisumu would be visible in a portal.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak, so that your care is like continuous and we have access to your other information. The Digital Health Act and Social Health Authority and all do not cover herbalists. They do not cover, they do not address quacks, for instance. And therefore, it's more formal.
Mm-hmm.
In the formal sector, the people sort of under the Ministry of health. And therefore, does that Digital Health Act help with the quacks? Probably not, but also probably yes, because they presuppose that all the people who are allowed to treat people would probably be in that system.
Mm-hmm.
So that someone who is not allowed or licensed to treat people may not have access to that portal. Because everyone has rights. And we're actually using the sort of Digital Health portal. For instance, in Murang'a County, they don't use paper. And someone seen in one facility in Murang'a County, the information is available in the next facility should they require to be seen or referred, for instance, you see. And therefore, maybe those restrictions would be what we tell people. If someone cannot access that information, then it's probably a quack. Yeah.
Okay. We say that information is power, but misinformation has come to take that power from people who consume information online. So what can you propose in terms of people learning how to sift real from fake in terms of the information that they take online?
Yes, it's very difficult nowadays to choose between what is correct information and what is not correct information. So the first advice would be that the first thing is to identify the source. Your source is very important. If these are people qualified, like they are qualified doctors, for instance, then you've already sieved off a lot of issues. They're more likely to be giving you correct information. So I think the role of the public is verification as the first step. And verification, again, online can be very difficult because there is, nowadays we have all sorts of AI, deepfakes, and impersonation. And it might be difficult to really separate that. So our rallying call is know your doctor. Look for his information from the relevant sources, which is generally the regulator. Mm-hmm. And now you can assess that information from there on. Mm-hmm. Secondly, is to actually go to the people who are licensed to practice medicine, for instance, and ask them physically, because a lot of online information is exactly that, and it might be difficult for someone who is not trained in that field, for instance, to identify correct and wrong information. At the end of the day, I think AI will not replace the doctor,
mm-hmm.
because it is very difficult,
mm-hmm.
For you to know the difference between information generated by AI and whether it's correct or not and whether it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
So have a physical relationship by visiting the health facilities,
mm-hmm.
and ensuring that the people you get information from are the correct people.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of AI, when I was doing my investigation for this story, I spent so much time on TikTok, like trying to join the TikTok lives for these people. And I noticed that when you join the live, there's this specific TikToker who shares information about the food you eat, the food you shouldn't eat. So let's say they're talking about a specific thing, they'll stick on that.
Yep.
And when you ask anything else, they cannot answer. Mm-hmm. I think that's one way also people can try to know this is not a real doctor, because a real doctor would be able to answer typically anything. And then when I searched them on their LinkedIn, I noticed that the answers they were sharing on LinkedIn, or rather the points they were putting out on LinkedIn, were literally from ChatGPT. So it's people just need to do due diligence. So when it comes to the country achieving universal health coverage, and we have such impediments like getting misinformation online, so what are some of the risks that people face when they consume information that is not true from a real doctor?
Ideally, the training of a doctor is to take your history, talk to you, do some investigations, and come up with a diagnosis, and then treat. Your treatment can only be correct if you have the correct diagnosis. And therefore, it is very important that you, from the onset, get mm-hmm. the correct diagnosis. We've seen people who have done hopscotch, and you know, you're treated, and then you go again, you're not getting better, you move to the next one, you move, and finally, by the time you go to a correct health facilities, then you are very sick, and maybe the disease is advanced, so to speak, but you've taken too much time before reaching the end. So we need to address some of the factors that lead to you not being able to access quality healthcare from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The most common is, of course, finances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and finances, we are trying to do healthcare financing, that healthcare facilities, for instance, are financed. But for the person themselves, Kenya is trying to use insurance model, and I'm sure you know about Social Health Insurance Fund,
yeah.
And the three funds that were started in 2023,
yeah.
I think, via the Social Health Insurance Act.
Mm-hmm.
So the government has two funds. It is supposed to fund the Emergency and Chronic Illness Fund and the Primary Healthcare Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So if those are well-funded, then people would be able to get the primary care at without financial distress.
Mm-hmm.
There is the more controversial one, the Social Health Insurance Fund, that mm-hmm. they have put as 2.5% of your gross earnings. That is supposed to fund treatment at level 4, 5, 6 now, you know,
mm-hmm.
the treatment that requires admission, surgery, and all.
Mm-hmm.
So the interplay of this would help you know whether you can afford mm-hmm. treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have registered for this, then to some extent they may be able to get mm-hmm. access to treatment. The second thing is the government needs to improve the economy so that people have money in the pocket so that they're able to pay for their services even if they do not have any form of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So our major issue on universal health coverage is improve the economy so that people have money in their pockets and they are able to subscribe to the social health insurance fund and so that they are able to avoid quacks.
Okay, so there's a Forbes analysis that was done, and you know how people could use Google as the ultimate search engine for information, but now people are using TikTok for their search. And the based on the discussion that we've had today, it's difficult to tell that this is a real doctor and this is a fake one. So how can social media apps like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram help in regulating such issues in terms of misinformation?
So as a concluding point,
look
for a real doctor. The app is not the solution. The app is a tool to use to help you with your health, and therefore look for the real doctor and follow them on their real socials. And in case you have questions, ask them there.
So as you have heard, you can follow real doctors like Dr. Simon Kingondo One on TikTok, where you'll see him dancing as well as him sharing health information that is legit. And be sure to check us out for the next episode. And thank you for joining us.